another episode of Meeting Pros. I'm your host, Kevin Finn, and as usual, I'm in the studio with my lovely co-host, Jessica Park. Welcome, Jessica.
Hey, Kevin. How's it going?
It's going good. I'm preparing for vacation next week. I just got back from the mountains and hiking and had an absolute blast. I saw some llamas. That was weird for me, hiking in the highlands, and I was walking. There was like 10 llamas being herded down there, so either drug smuggling or maybe they're bringing something back. I'm not sure. So.
Yeah, that's awkward. Well, I'm glad you got away. That's awesome.
Definitely. Anything happened this weekend for you? Anything new and exciting?
Well, I went out to the lake to go sailing. And
you are a big sailor.
Yeah. I got to go out for a very short amount of time before one of those storms came in. And it was fun to watch everybody kind of scatter, try to get back in their docks, and the sun came back out and everybody went back out again. But
yeah, those weather storms have been crazy. They'll just like for 15 minutes, it'll be like a monsoon and then it'll be nice and then maybe tornado weather. You never know.
You never know. It's exciting.
Do you cuss
it's
like exciting. A sailor?
When I'm on the boat.
She's on the boat. She's got an eye patch and some rum and she's yelling at people giving instructions.
Absolutely.
So I'm too scared to go out there. So we got a great show today. We got some great guests as usual that you've brought on. We've got John Brown with Monte Carlo Productions. We've got Jerry Sims with Jerry Sims Wedding and Events. And we also have Kirkley Hennessy from Star 94, but he's with Hennessy Transportation now. So welcome, guys. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
It's the first time we've had a radio celebrity on the show with us.
So. No, I'm not a celebrity, just in my own mind.
Well, John, we're going to start first with you. Just break down what your company does and tell us a little bit about it.
Okay. How's everybody doing?
Great.
Well, I work for Monte Carlo Productions, worked there for 20 years, secured buying it 5 years ago, and we are a leader in corporate theme parties in the Atlanta market.
All right. So explain what a corporate theme party is. Like, what do people do? I know I always think of casino, but what are more different things people do other than the casino theme?
Right now, casino's big with the release of Gatsby. We're doing for Microsoft. We're in four different venues doing casino in two of those. But I have a 45,000-square-foot warehouse filled with props, decor, themed items from international to country western to a little bit of everything, a one-stop shop.
What's the weirdest thing you've seen in a corporate environment that someone decided, let's do this idea, and you're like, well, okay, if you want to.
We do some game shows, and the mock-up on game shows are kind of floppy. You never know how the guests are going to react when you get them up there.
Oh, yeah. I know that with the radio. Sometimes you get someone that just frees up. And I used to be in video production. It was even worse. Then you get someone in front of a camera. They're all comfortable, and then they're just a completely different person. They're sweating profusely.
Yeah, that was me when we first started doing this.
Oh, yeah. Well, you've gotten so much better.
Thanks.
So tell us, you said you had a prop warehouse. You mentioned you guys have a bunch of props.
Yeah, we have rows and rows and rows of props that we've accumulated through corporate, basically just a compilation of all the support for all the corporate events we've done throughout 35 years we've been in business.
All right. So you guys have just been gathering. As people do events, you've got a bunch of
like
Gatsby
a prop
stuff
hoarder.
What has been interesting, yeah, basically, right. We're a holding facility, and people come, and they're like, really? It's kind of like Willy Wonka, and we've opened up the doors, and it's like, whoa, how did you get this much stuff?
Jerry and I can both vouch for that. We've been to his facility, and it is impressive.
So a neat new stream of revenue for us with all the movie companies coming has been knock, knock, knock. Hey, do you have this? We're with movie such and such and movie such and such.
That's perfect.
That's awesome.
So, it's perfect.
And what's cool is these people, once the show wraps, they move on to the next program and they're right back saying, hey, do you have this? Do you have this? Do you have
yeah,
this?
Yeah, essentially paying for the item in full on one rental. Yeah.
Unforeseen stream of revenue. And then if it makes sense to go buy it to support that and there's recyclability on it, then that's what we're doing.
Excellent.
Awesome.
Very smart.
Any movies you can tell us that your props have worked
on? We've done Million Dollar Arm, Intern, all the popular movies.
All the popular ones have been here.
But also, another thing that has recently happened is I was able to buy the building we're in. We're down off of Howell Mill. Good, convenient location.
I live out there.
On the Beltline. And in my vision in buying the building, we had so much space, was, hey, what can I do? What other company can I run seamlessly inside of myself with no overhead? So we entered in a partnership with Coco Studios, and we've opened a movie studio inside of our warehouse.
That is so cool.
Before we could get it done, I had a movie company come knock on a door, independent movie company, and say, we'll take it. We'll take the space. You're a one-stop shop. Props, set design, we can build, and then we can get our shots here as well.
Yeah.
And you're in a cool part of town, so great
restaurants. It's a perfect part of town. Well, yeah, restaurants, but yeah, it's a perfect part of town.
The movie's ready to hit big screen. It's being marketed presently. It's called First Impression. They gave me a cameo in it and gave me associate producer's credit on the very first movie.
Nice. That is so cool. We might have to have you back in once the movie comes out. Maybe we'll do a secret screening here. I'll get a projector and put it on the wall.
So that's kind of neat. And then the last thing we have is we've opened up a photography studio downstairs as well that we're selling monthly memberships to, and you get 12 hours of studio time for X amount of
dollars. Oh, that is great to know. I have so many people that would be interested.
Chop it up in whatever hour increments you want. It's an online Google Calendar. You send your request, you get confirmation on your request, and you have the 12 hours in your bank on a monthly basis.
Mm-hmm. That is so cool. I was a film student, and just having that capability would be awesome for any film student. So.
And that downstairs has a 25-foot psych wall, dressing rooms, lounge area, two restrooms, air-conditioned, kind of a cool concept. And upstairs, the studio rents, it's a much larger space, 5,000 square feet, and that rents on a daily basis for commercial work as well. So it's kind of an integration of corporate theme parties meets, you know, movie companies. We've mm-hmm. used it as a venue for special events. We've mm-hmm. had 5 special events in there to date. We had a launch party for the studio, had 400 people come. We threw it into a block party.
Yeah.
Kind of fun.
You're utilizing the production part of your name fully. Definitely.
I love that. How'd you come to decide you wanted to do this, or did you fall into it, or were you a kid and you're like, this is what I'm going to do. I like to dress up in different costumes and stuff, so I'm going to make a prop company, and then it just grew from there? Or?
I worked there forever and then really wanted to buy the company and own the company as my own, and everything else has just sort of fallen into place with the relationship and people suggesting things. And Ken at Eclectia around the corner had a prop rental company, and he said, when he came in the door, he said, you've got to rent to movies. I had never rented a thing to a movie company ever.
Yeah.
And I said, well, how do you do that?
Yeah, it's hard to get into that, actually.
So.
I have my godfather actually owns an antique store that does a lot of rentals for the shows, mm-hmm. but his props are so specific to what the movie is that mm-hmm. it would be great to have a wider selection.
They come in and they walk around. And the other problem is we're about to redo our website. None of it's online.
Mm-hmm.
So we really need to take pictures of everything, get it online. Because when they come in, they
catalog everything. Yeah.
Why is this not online?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, because there's only so many hours in the day.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, you need to utilize your studio downstairs and take pictures of everything.
True. Good idea.
Speaking of technology and stuff, what are you guys doing in the social media realm? I think that has to be really important to your business.
We just brought on a girl. Her background, she's a writer, and she came in. We share space with another company called William Events, who's a local designer, very, very talented. He had brought her in, didn't have enough part-time work for her, so we were filling in the holes. And as I was interviewing her, she said, well, I'm a social media guru mm-hmm. / specialist, and that's what I do. And I said, great, you can have the front office and start, because we have nothing.
Yeah.
So she, it's 2 days a week, has come in.
It is.
And started a whole program within the last 3 weeks for us. So this is all brand new for us.
That can be scary, too. The whole social media element, to me, it's a scary animal.
To try to do yourself, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even have a Facebook page.
Yeah, I didn't either until I started my own business.
Yeah.
So it is completely uncharted territory for us.
Awesome. Yeah. So do you guys have any events coming up that you want to talk about? Or?
We do 500 events a year. Right now, we're buried. We have 10 trucks. We go all over the country. Right now, we're kind of buried with Microsoft. We're in Osseo. We're in Fox. We're in Mason Muir. And one other location. So for the next few days, it's Microsoft, Microsoft, Microsoft.
Let's talk about staff now. So if you're doing that many events, you must have a pretty lengthy staff.
We keep our nucleus small. We have only 7 full-time employees.
Okay.
We use a lot of part-time, Georgia Tech Labor, Georgia State, Life Chiropractic, firemen, just an entourage of part-time people that come and go on a contract basis.
How do you facilitate that contract basis? How do you get it out there so they know about you? you? Because I would think that'd be pretty difficult.
We have a database of 300 part-time employees. We send emails out about upcoming things. We have tiered distribution lists where our regulars get more frequent emails and sign up for more frequent availability.
So there's sort of like, if I sign up for more events, you're going to put me in this other list over here. Like, wow, Kevin is awesome. Yeah. He's on the A-list.
You'd be an A-list if you show up on time, you wear the proper uniform, you're groomed properly, and you're a worker. Because what we do involves people lifting, toting, moving, and having a good eye as well.
Definitely.
The non-workers weed themselves out very quickly.
Yeah, I would say. And like in a restaurant industry, you're like, we're going to pull the tips just because, you know.
We won't see you back next week.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So what's next? What's next you're going into? Are you going to go pet sitting, pet walking it? It's the business.
My plate's full. I'm good with where we're at right now, you know. And if I can take this to its potential, I have more than enough going on, I feel like.
Well, yeah.
I can tell you, I'm jealous. It sounds like you do something completely awesome. You like getting up every day and working, and that's awesome.
Thank you.
So how do people reach out and contact you?
www.mcpatl.com is our website, and then all of our links to all the new social media avenues we're creating. And then I think it was MCP_ATL to follow us on Twitter.
Okay.
Okay. So that's awesome. Thanks for going on. And that website people can go on if they want to sign up for the list to be on to work, or how do people do that also?
We're going to incorporate that as well, just because we have so many people call daily. We want them to fill an online inquiry for part-time work. But you can call our office, 404-351-9012. Ring zero for the operator and give us your information, and we'll get you on the email list, get you in to do an informal interview, just attach a name to a face and make sure you have good transportation and you're clean cut and going to be on time. And
put that's you, huge
we
in
can
the
put you to
industry.
Work, actually. We have a lot of work opportunities. So.
That's great.
Well, speaking of work opportunities, one of your past employees, Jerry Sims, with Jerry Sims Wedding and Events, is here with us. Welcome, Jerry. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you.
So was John a pretty good boss?
He was an awesome boss.
He's an awesome boss.
I have some stories, but I think I'll keep those to myself.
Good idea.
So I'm guessing you were on the A-list, and then you made it to maybe one of the full-time employees?
Oh, no.
No?
I stayed on the A-list.
But she was A-list. A-list.
She was an A-list all the way. Well, talk about a little bit how you got into owning your own company.
Well, I've been in this industry for about 25 years. I started with the country clubs in Miami, went to the Ringling School of Art and Design, where I studied graphic, and then decided to get into the props. Obviously, back then, as John knows, the prop industry, we kind of had to make our own.
You built your own. I know that about the industry because my mom was in that sector.
You used to help your mom build props, didn't you?
Yeah, it was always a styrofoam something or other we were building on the weekends.
Oh, I've done that too.
Yes.
We've done the giant props. I used to I lived in Gatlinburg and Miami. And in Gatlinburg, I built all the giant props there that people would have seen up and down the roads.
Mm-hmm.
25-foot scarecrows and
how do you put that on a resume? I can build 25-foot scarecrows.
Exactly.
You're hired. Yeah.
Right.
But with photos. My whole... What I do is all about photography.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
They can't envision, because what I do is I specialize in drape, and I can drape an entire room and ceiling, chandeliers. I make it very elegant and gorgeous.
You do. Your pictures are incredible.
Mm-hmm. You have to have the pictures. The pictures tell the story.
Yeah.
I can see those pictures on your card, and they are absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, thank you.
So did you ever know you wanted to own your own business? Was that the whole plan, or did you also just sort of fall into that? You were like working, and then you're like, hey, I can do this by myself.
No, my parents are self-employed, so it was kind of, I didn't know anything different.
Mm-hmm.
So I just stayed with the self-employed, and then it was just part of what we did. I have an identical twin sister, and she helped me in it for a while, but I think she got a little tired of it.
Did you guys ever, if you couldn't make a meeting or anything, you'd send your sister and they wouldn't be able to tell? Or
Yeah, we kind of switched out with John a few times. So.
Once you get to know them, they're very different.
They're very different.
Jerry and Terry. But
wow, that's great.
Well, tell us a little bit about the services your company provides.
I generally stick with weddings. It seems to be what I have. I have thousands of yards of fabric, about 100,000 yards of fabric. We do it in a lot of colors. The Indian market really likes what I do. Mm-hmm. We end up doing a lot of Indian weddings. And I can pretty much drape a room. The ones we're working on now is down in Macon at the Indian Temple there. The rooms are 24 feet tall, 100 by 100, and we drape the whole thing.
Wow.
And it changes 6 weddings in a row right now.
Wow.
And you're very hands-on with the business. You don't just send people out. You make sure it's done to your liking.
I have to.
Yeah.
I have to because my name's on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can understand that.
Well, speaking to a layman, my girlfriend would know this, and she'd be like, "Well, why don't you understand it? Why does a room need to be draped? Like, I'm a guy. I go in there. I'm like, well, what? How does that really help?" So,
well, a lot of people will end up draping because the room's quite ugly, or they're draping certain areas that they want. Sometimes budget comes into it, so we try to accommodate what they want. If we don't drape the entire ceiling, we drape over the dance floor.
Mm-hmm.
Anything to make it softer and more elegant.
Yeah.
I bet.
Plus,
I would
it
really
picks
like
up
it.
The light too. It really, the light really.
Oh, lighting. You can tell in my pictures, you have to have the lighting.
Yeah.
You have to have lights with the fabric.
Well,
you've posted a couple of pictures, one of like a basket weave of on the ceiling, and the one you just posted the other day that looks, I can't even describe it. It's so intricate on the ceiling.
Yeah,
that one was incredible.
That's a shopping mall in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Global Mall, and we're actually designing the whole mall with drape and fabric, and that was an event center they have, this state-of-the-art, and they wanted it to be extremely elegant. So we went from state-of-the-art to elegance.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
What kind of budget do I have to have if I'm going to hire you? You said you work. Do I have to have a Kirkley or a John budget, or can I work with what I'm making here?
I generally start at 1,000.
What is that?
That's the big successful on my own company.
That would be a John budget.
We
not
have
a Kirkley budget.
No, we have a $500 minimum. That's very reasonable.
Yeah, mine's $500 minimum, but you're going to get the basic.
Definitely so.
But yeah, mine generally are within a room drape usually runs around $2,500.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a ballroom in a hotel.
Yeah, that's a large room.
Very.
What sets you apart from others in the industry?
The drapes. I'm just kidding.
I think I design three-dimensional, and people like the three-dimension and the different designs I have. Most drape companies are just pipe and drape. They generally just set a room and they're done.
Yeah.
I kind of take it to the third dimension.
We've actually worked together quite a few times, but your part is usually done by the time I get there. So
now mine does start early. We start at midnight, and we generally work all night long because once we're finished, then they start with the tables and the design. But ours has to be done before anyone else because we take over the entire room.
Yeah,
that sounds genius too. You get in there before the bride, and you get out right before she comes in, so you don't have to deal with her one bit. Perfect, genius.
You're right.
So when dealing with a bride, do they normally have in mind what they want the drapes, or do you sort of have to guide them? Because it seems like a specialty. It's a hard thing to do, definitely.
They have an idea with Pinterest. They generally have a page, and I know Aziz goes to, or actually John, you kind of try to read the bride. Once you can read her, then you can determine exactly what she wants, and then you start showing her what she wants to see.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of locations I've already draped, so I can actually show them pictures of what I've done in the past.
Sure. Yeah, visual is very important, so you can make sure you're on the same page. So later you can be like, no, see, this is where we were. This is what we agreed on.
Right, and generally they want more.
Yeah.
They want more. Once they start seeing it, they want more.
Yeah.
So let's talk about social media. You mentioned Pinterest. How has social media helped your business or hurt it?
I do a lot of wedding shows. Wedding shows bring in lots of brides. Brides, we have to send information out to them. Also, the vendors see you at every show, so they start recognizing you and realizing that they can come to you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm generally set at every wedding show, so the wedding shows, the girls actually physically see what I have. My social media, I have a young lady that actually takes care of that on a regular basis. I don't touch it. I do. I have requested that she send me text and emails asking for it weekly because I will forget because we have to take pictures of our work all the time. So we're trying to let people see what we do on a regular basis.
Yeah, to the minute.
Almost to the minute.
Yeah.
So how has the wedding industry changed over the years that you've seen?
I think the brides used to plan out about a year in advance, 6 months. Now they're within weeks.
Yeah, they're on short term.
Sounds like millennials to me.
Mm-hmm. They're very short. They know what they want. With Pinterest and the internet, we're seeing the look they want, and we can create the look they want.
Mm-hmm.
Would you give them any advice? Maybe start sooner. 3 weeks, 4 weeks sounds a little too fast for me. That's something I feel like I could plan a wedding in that time, but my girlfriend, I don't know if she'd be happy with it.
They plan it early. They just start adding things because, again, they've never done this, so you've got to walk them through it and design it and just kind of hold their hand.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably suggest most brides read all your contracts before you walk in the door for your wedding. Make sure everything is, all the T's are crossed.
Absolutely. It's good advice.
It's very detailed, and it's one time. You don't get a second chance at this.
Yeah, it's not one of those things where you can say, well, practice makes perfect. So.
No.
Right. Yeah, one of our guests that we had scheduled today, she's actually going to come on a later show, but her venue burnt down. Her bride and groom's venue burnt down.
Is this here in Atlanta?
No, it wasn't. It was a destination wedding, so she's going to have to travel to find another venue before the wedding this Saturday.
At least she's not superstitious.
Scary.
Yeah,
but I mean, that's just like things that happen, like you can't control. But what in the contract for the venue, how is that person covered? You know, it makes you wonder.
You'll be surprised that people and venues will step up to the plate and they'll work with brides.
Yeah.
Kind of like wedding, like when it rains.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they plan their outdoor wedding. They don't think about coming inside. And this whole month, I'm sure, has been lots of tears.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely.
So once the girls start realizing that, then everybody steps up to the plate.
Okay. Yeah.
So what's next for your business? What are you doing to improve the industry or change it?
I don't think we change. We just work a lot. We do about 7 to 10 weddings a week.
Wow.
And we stay really busy. We travel all over the country doing weddings. And I don't know. I don't know that you can get enough. You just learn to micromanage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what's next? Are you ever going to take a step back and let someone else run this business that you've built and then go off and build something new or retire, go sit Mai Tais on the beach?
Well, I've organized the business to where it can be sold at a certain point, and I've done all the homework that I've had to do over the last 5 years. I wish I could say I went back 25 years, but over the last 5 years, I have set the business in place so that when I'm ready to sell it, it's sellable.
Mm-hmm.
That's really important. A lot of people never think about that, and they're running, and then the business can't run without them.
I had a wonderful mentor that taught me, so I learned.
Awesome. Well, was it your parents? Were they your mentor?
No.
I'm just wondering, because you said your parents were really independent and awesome. So.
No, they are. They're wonderful. They're retired now, but now it's up to me to figure this out.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, how do people reach out and get their weddings beautified?
They can actually contact me through either AtlantaWeddingDecor.com, or my name is Jerry Sims, and it's GERISIMS.com.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Well,
you're welcome.
Last but definitely not least, we have Kirkley Hennessy with Hennessy Transportation. And
thank
I have
you.
To think that the Hennessy in transportation, is that a coincidence? Or
absolutely.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I did not think that. But all right. Well, tell us a little about Hennessy Transportation.
Well, I'm the black sheep of the family.
You're the black sheep of the family.
Off,
so they send you off?
All right. I have to play that role.
Okay. Well, tell us a little bit about Hennessy Transportation.
We are a full service. Well, first, thank you for having me and inviting me into the show.
Definitely.
Thank you very much. I've listened over the past few months being in the industry, so I'm familiar with it.
Glad you know, so we only bring on the best. So.
Well, thank you. Hennessy Transportation, we are a full service chauffeured ground transportation company. That is the fancy way of saying a limousine company. But we do say that just because limousine, when you hear limo, you think long car.
Mm-hmm.
So we are, those days are pretty much over. We do have the stretch limousines in the fleet for, you know, your proms and homecomings and weddings. But a lot of that is leisure, as we call it. A lot of the business is corporate and moving airport goers every week, Monday, Thursday, Friday, usually the big travel days. your corporate executives. And then, of course, we've got the buses that we're moving groups. You know, you've got all the conventions downtown, for example, Microsoft this week. So I've got a few buses on that. And I think every limo company in Atlanta's got their hands on that one because Microsoft is a gigantic.
They are definitely gigantic.
Yeah, so that's... The buses, the sedan. Our fleet consists of sedans, which was the Lincoln Town Car. That has been discontinued. So
yeah,
we have converted over to, we finally made a decision on a vehicle, and that's the Chrysler 300. Chrysler stepped up for the livery industry. So that's been good. We've got SUVs. It's Suburban, Escalade, Lincoln Navigator models, and then buses, stretches.
So is the new Chrysler car, is that sort of like you guys have all come together at the convention or forum and you're like, all right, this is going to be the next car? Or is everyone trying different things?
It's been for about 2 years now. All the companies are have gone different. Lincoln made a different vehicle. It's called the MKT. It's a nice car. It's not something that the limo industry responded to very positively, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I think Lincoln makes a great car, but the other one was Cadillac, but the Cadillac DTS, and then the Chrysler 300. Chrysler took advantage. They had a chance a while back, but they took advantage of the livery industry yet again. They made an announcement a few years ago that they're going to start making the L series the car to be a little longer.
Awesome.
So that's now out there. So you wouldn't know, but the Lincoln Town Cars that we have in our fleet are actually stretched to half a foot.
Wow.
So
really?
When you get in, there's the door opens at a 90-degree angle. On the rear armrest, you can control the music and the air, and there's vanity mirrors above you. So even though it's a black town car on the outside, on the inside, chilled water, and you know your chauffeur's right there, but it's basically a little two-person limo with no privacy partition. And then, of course, we put Wi-Fi on board all our vehicles. So that's a nice addition. So
I did not know you could do that.
Yeah, well, today's technology. I mean, it's amazing what we when the company was born just a little over 3 years ago, putting Wi-Fi on board was a lot more expensive. But that's something that I had a vision in mind to have a mobile office for our corporate goers when we got into that. But nowadays, I mean, you know, with the tablets and things, you make it a mobile hotspot. It's pretty easy to do, actually. But it sounds good.
Yeah, it definitely sounds good and cool. Something that I've been using recently, and we talk about here in Business Radio X, is Uber. Do you guys work with Uber transportation at all?
No, that's a completely different concept. That's more of a taxi app.
Okay.
They are
you guys are above
demand.
That. You're the high class.
Well, it's not not necessarily a class. I'm sure we've got some of our clients that would use them on a Saturday night. But our Uber's an on demand last minute kind of thing. They're more of a taxi. That's a taxi app. We're a prearranged chauffeur. Yep, and there's a lot to it too that goes behind that. I mean, for example, difference between that versus what we do. I mean, all of our chauffeurs are criminally background checked, fingerprinted through the FBI. So the whole trained in house. Yeah. So I mean, we've got they're permitted through the state. So it's a chauffeur is an actual endorsement on the driver's license. So it's a legal process, procedure, and permit. It's not just something that we're just using the name to say, hey, you're going to be a chauffeur and you're a driver. I mean, it takes from the time a driver applies and they're hired, it takes a minimum of 5 to 7 weeks before they're on their own with their first trip.
Wow. I did not know that much went into it. How old is your company and how big are you guys?
We're just over 3 years old. We are global. We service over 1,200 airports and 500 cities. Now, I will say that's our office and our fleet is here in Atlanta, but we've got a worldwide affiliate network, and we've got an affiliate division now. We've got in fact, our team right now is in Seattle, and they are with our affiliates in Seattle. So they literally travel full time. That's all they do. And they were in Winnipeg the week before, excuse me, and they just go and travel throughout, and they're with our partners. So these are other limo companies, and our corporate clients know this. This is where it would come in. We've got corporate clients that just have one reservation system, one phone number to call. That would be us.
Yeah.
And they travel from different cities. But the reason that they do that is they want to be able to just work with one company.
Definitely.
And one system that we have. And our main thing is we're more of a concierge service at that point.
Yeah, but they know that you vet these people, and they're going to meet your standard.
They're on our policy. They meet our requirements. But it's all and vice versa. So we all work together, and we're the same. We all have the same goal, the same vision, same concept.
What other changes are you guys seeing in the industry?
What other changes are we making in the industry?
Or are you seeing? Or you're making?
Oh,
are
we're seeing. The. I haven't been in the business long enough to make a really educated answer as to tell you what I've seen that changes in the industry. I've seen more or less just progression inside the company. When we started as a leisure limousine company with one stretch limousine, literally. And then just kind of grew from there. But I don't think I see many changes. I've heard many changes from today versus 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But lately, not a lot, other than technology, making it a lot better for us. Excuse me. We have, going back to our permits and things, I mean, something, for example, our chauffeurs, as they're driving, okay, and monitoring your flight that is coming in at 2:42 p.m. scheduled, but it's coming in at 4:15 p.m. because of rain or anything else that happens. Our chauffeurs and our vehicles actually have, this is amazing, we have the direct access to the black box of the airplane. So we're permitted through it's really awesome, the technology that we have. So the chauffeurs know exactly what's going on with that plane, when it's being diverted, when it's being, I don't know if you guys remember, just a few weeks ago, for example, the Thursday, Wednesday night, we had some horrible storms.
Yeah,
we had flights coming in. We'll do anywhere from for in Atlanta, we'll do anywhere from 30 to 70 trips a day. So in that evening, we had probably 10, 20 airport arrivals in a 3-hour period, and we had so many delays. Well, we had our big executives calling saying, "This is amazing. I was supposed to come in at 7 p.m. and my chauffeur's at the top of the escalator at 2 a.m." And they were amazed. They didn't think they thought they were going to come out and have to get a taxi.
So
we monitor everything. Our customers know if your flight is coming in early or late, don't worry. If it's canceled, you just give us a call. Let us know what your next flight number is, because we wouldn't have any way to access that. Of course, there is no way. But the technology is definitely something I look at and reflect on that chauffeurs did 10, 20 years ago. I mean, back when you went to the gate.
Yeah.
I mean, Hartsfield-Jackson, that would be a nightmare. I couldn't imagine operating that way.
I used to see that in movies with the signs. Like,
well, yeah, we do that. We're inside, but we don't go to the gate. Yeah. We have the greeting. We're in the non-sterile area, so to speak. They still have their what's called a CIDA badge, and that's a airport permit that the chauffeurs have to have for us to service on the property. But back pre 9/11, it was chauffeurs got on the train, and if you're coming in at C30, they would have to get on the train. That's another 10 minutes sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, so it really affects between traffic and that. It affects the, for the chauffeur, it's how many trips they can do in a day, of course.
Definitely.
I mean, and they need more. They want that, so I couldn't imagine how. I mean, for a chauffeur to do 7 or 8 trips in a day right now would be a lot. So back then, I couldn't imagine them doing more than 4.
Well, this is amazing technology. I can imagine for business people that want to be focused on growing their business and they're focused on where they have to get. They don't want to have to worry about the travel stuff is stressful. So I can go with Hennessy Transportation, sign up with you guys, and if my flight gets delayed or one of my other flights, my connecting flight gets pushed back, you guys know about it. I don't have to worry about it. I know you guys are going to be there. And that's a huge peace of mind. I know for myself. So.
Yeah, it's good. It's mainly for the corporate and even the families when they're traveling. They like just the experience of not having to drive. And sometimes it works out financially versus parking. But a lot of times, I mean, for your guys, for the Warriors that are going every Monday morning at 5 a.m. and coming back Thursday, they don't want to have to worry about driving in the company, takes care of that. So they don't see it as a luxury. Sometimes they're traveling, they're on the plane, they're tired, they just want to get in the car and go home. But
definitely
we're there with chilled water and a professional suited chauffeur with the custom Hennessy tie.
Well, I want to know how you start with one limo and in 3 years you build it to such a big business, because that seems amazing to me. If you told anyone, hey, you need to spend 3 years and you're going to have a very large business, very successful business, people would be like, well, sign me up. I want that.
Sure.
So.
You know what I've been saying? I caught myself saying it one day, and I really feel this way. 80% of our competition allows us to grow.
I love that.
That's honestly, I said that one day, and I was like, that's a keeper. And I think a lot of us can say that, John and Jerry, as well, in your business. It's, you know, I think in any business, small business especially, it's customer service, mm-hmm. grassroots marketing. I mean, John, for you to get into that social media thing is going to be very beneficial for you. I mean, that's grassroots marketing. It's today's technology, but grassroots, you know, just yeah. using that in great customer service. I mean, you know, look, every company is going to have a mistake every once in a while, but if you own it, people appreciate that. You know, we have mistakes. We have had, there's no limo company that said they've never been late.
Definitely.
Right. They haven't been in business for more than a year. Like it's just going to happen. But if you can own it and let your customer know, look, we're sorry, we're going to take care of it.
Yeah.
And we'll, you know, it's on us or whatever. Just simple little customer service things that you exactly. can do. People appreciate it. I think a lot of people don't see that big picture sometimes. So that's helped us grow in referrals. Is anything service-based is referrals. Again, John, Jerry, same type of concept. I mean, we're in service, you know, even though we have a tangible item. For you, John, it would be a prop, or for me, it's a town car, and for you, it's drapes. But that's not, you know, that's not what you're really selling. It's the experience as well and their feeling that they have. Mm-hmm. And our slogan, I mean, that's in it. It's in our slogan. There's no feeling quite like it. So we go for the feeling. Like, that's our, you know. So to grow is, and good people. We've surrounded ourselves good people. I've been very fortunate to have some good guys around, and they've I guess kind of tried their darndest to help me look good. That gets difficult sometimes.
Well, I'd love to hear that. I like to see small businesses with great customer service, because that's what's been lacking. Too many corporations mm-hmm. get so big that you're calling somebody in India and they right. I can't understand them, and they don't help me with my problem, and you know.
Yeah, but something I didn't realize when I got into this industry, it is a 24 hour and a half business.
Oh, definitely.
There is no doubt. So but our phones and our email, our reservations email, is monitored 24 hours a day, in-house staff. So that definitely helps too. So there's no voicemail, things like that. So we, you know, from day one we operated as an actual, you know, outfit, organization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and so that I think that's helped grow. But yeah, so that's
all right. Well, how do people reach out, contact you guys, and sign up for your
sure
chauffeur service?
We are I feel left out. John and Jerry are taking pictures over there. I'm gonna have to switch chairs. And we are online, HennesseyTransportation.com, and on Facebook, of course, as well. And Twitter is Hennessy Limo. And yeah, I think that's it. So we can service anybody's ground transportation need, whether it be a group or a personal trip, and of course any concerts or proms or weddings, anything in or around the Atlanta area for that, we'll be more than happy to assist them. So thank you guys.
Well, thank you so much, Kirkley. I'm putting this card in my wallet as we speak.
Right.
So. but yeah, thanks everyone for being on the show. It was a great show, a lot of great information, and just another one in the bag. So thank you guys.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Jessica, I always give you time to talk about your Adventurepreneurs group. Anything new in the group? Anything new going on?
Well, we're going to start having some more networking events where we can all get together and kind of collaborate and see how we can help each other in the industry and help others that are trying to get into the industry kind of learn about the industry to help and so they don't make the same mistakes we did, you know, mm-hmm. as we were coming up in the industry. So it's been a great group, and it's growing quite a bit. So it's exciting.
All now, right. I have a question for yes. you guys. Who interviews you all?
Who interviews us?
Yeah. Well, I think we need to do that next week.
Definitely. I'll do that anytime. You guys come on. I'll get to be in the guest chair. Do a role reversal. That'll be awesome.
And, Jerry, just a question. You have three cell phones.
I have three
That's
cell phones.
That's amazing.
Yes.
I do. And I was very good at
remember
it.
Remember back in the day when two was like, all right, they're doing drugs?
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Oh, my gosh.
I didn't want to say anything. I didn't want to put on the spot. I was thinking three cell phones. I was thinking the same thing. I was like, all right.
I thought everybody put them over there. And then I looked and there's John and Jess. Is good. I was like,
I'm a very good multitasker.
Wow.
It's one for each social media, so.
Yeah.
She's got a lot of boyfriends.
Uh-huh. I was going to say, there's a good story with that, I'm sure.
Can't wait. Well, this is Kevin Finn for Jessica Park and all our guests today, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next week on Meeting Pros.